hello and welcome to TellerNetcast.com, your local internet radio with news, talk, and culture. My name's Carol Gravey, and I'm here today with my co-hosts, Matt Spaeth and Susan Wright. Welcome, Susan. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, thank you.
Today on the show is called Food Integrity Now. We have a very special guest. Our guest today is Yule Culberson. Yule and his wife, Lauren, own Pachamama Organic Farm in Longmont. Welcome, Yule.
Hi, thank you for having me. Welcome.
Yeah, it's really exciting to have you on the show today. You know, Yule, let's just get right to it. Can you tell us a little bit about your farm and perhaps share with us some of your farming methods?
Sure. Our farm is 40 acres in size. The property is 40 acres. And on that 40 acres, we grow 12 acres of certified organic mixed vegetables. And people usually ask either me or to themselves, well, if you have 40 acres, then why do you only have 12 acres of vegetables? And the reason is because we have land set aside for pasture. We have some horses on the property, and then, of course, there's roads and hillside and ponds and outbuildings and a greenhouse and, you know, other types of structures that take up size on the farm too. So that's why we have 12 acres of vegetables. And then the other reason is that 12 acres is really the only arable land that we have that's suitable for growing vegetables. And our farm is located west of Longmont, just a mile off of Highway 36 between Boulder and Lyons. And the way we got into farming was, it was the late 80s, and I was a sales rep in the outdoor sports equipment industry, and Lauren and I were newly married. We had a young son, and I just started to ask a lot of questions about what I wanted to do with my life, and I was going through a lot of personal work at the time and spiritual work, and through it all, I began to ask in my meditations, or pray, if you will. I said, you know, what can I do here? What can I do that would be exciting, that would be fun for me, would be something I could get passionate about, and at the same time would make a positive difference on the planet. That would provide a different kind of lifestyle for my family and my children. And it's not like I got a big light out of the sky or anything like that, but what happened is, a friend of mine started talking to me about his vegetable garden one day, and I said, wow, that sounds really, really interesting. And he gave me a book, and the book was called How to Grow More Vegetables on Less Land Than You Can Possibly Imagine by a fellow named John Jevons. And I read that book, and I just got so fired up, because it was about growing lots of produce in a small space in your backyard. And we grew a garden, and I found that I had a lot of abilities in that area, and I just got more and more excited about it. And then next thing I know, I was reading books about small scale farming and growing produce on a market farm near the city, and I got even more excited about that, the idea that I could quit my job and I could earn a living growing organic produce and selling it to my community. Was just so exciting, so much more exciting than selling rollerblades, which is what I was doing at the time. I was selling inline skates, rollerblades, and other companies too around the Rocky Mountain area. It was a job that required a lot of travel and time away from home, and interacted with quite a few, you know, folks that just didn't have the same types of values that I had. And so, over the long story short, is we just started looking together. Lauren was excited about the idea too, and over a number of years, we saved our money, and we found a piece of property, and we purchased it, and we basically just jumped in from the very beginning and started out on a couple of acres and made a lot of mistakes. Didn't make any money for the first couple of years, and worked really hard. And you know, a lot of times it was very difficult. But but at the same time, it was exciting too, and it was great to see people in the community who appreciated what we're doing, and you know, all the little magical moments when kids would come up to the stand and would comment about how much they loved our carrots, or maybe you know, mom would come up and say, you know, my little Johnny never would eat broccoli, but I fed him some of your broccoli, and now he thinks it's just the best broccoli, and you know, and he says, I'll only eat Pachamama Farm broccoli. And we've had these kinds of experiences numerous times over the years. I could go on forever talking about these types of experiences, and of course they're the biggest reason why we do what we do. Is in what we do here, our priority is to grow the highest quality produce that we can. And by quality for us, that means not only organic, which means that we don't use any harmful chemicals on the land or on the plants, and we're certified organic by the Colorado Department of Agriculture, but to try to take it another step further and treat our soils with the utmost of respect, and then also the utmost of a positive intention of putting back into the soil, or even adding to the soil what isn't there to begin with, so that the plants will have everything they need to draw from, similar to what our bodies, you know, need. The soil is and plants interact together in some ways very similar to the way our bodies are. You know, we have a digestive system where we take the foods that we eat, and there's this miracle that happens where the acids in our digestive system breaks down the food, and the minerals and the vitamins in there and the other nutrients, you know, are absorbed into our body, and plants are very similar to that. The roots go deep into the soil, the leaves go out into the air, and these two you know, and the plants below and above the earth are drawing these nutrients up from the earth. And so what we do is every year we take a soil sample where we go around and we dig little scoops of soil and we put them in a bag and we send them off to a soil lab. And the soil lab does whatever they do in the lab, and they send us back a soil report. And on that report, it tells us that in our particular soils, we have very high levels of potassium. We have very low levels of phosphorus, you know, and on and on and on. And then we're able to add these minerals back onto the soil in a form that's within the, you know, the regulations of the organic standards. And then what we've seen over the years is that our soil samples and our soil tests have changed, and the soils have become more balanced over the years. And so then what happens is the plant goes into the soil and will draw those nutrients out, and then it will be able to express itself in its most optimal genetic expression, which is really, again, like us. When you know, that's the way we are. We come into this planet and we have a certain predisposition towards the way we are based on the people that came before us, you know, our relatives. And if we take care of ourselves, then we're able to express that genetic potential in the most optimal way.
Wow, that is
beautiful. And if we don't express ourselves correctly, then we're not able to. And so that's what we try to do is to you know, grow food that's able to express itself optimally like that. And there's quite a bit of other things that we do on our farm, but that's a lot for now.
Well, you know, I understand you do some kind of alternative methods on the farm, and we'd like to hear more about that. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Food Integrity Now, and you're listening to TellerNetCast.com, your local internet radio with news, talk, and culture. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TellerNetcast.com, your local internet radio with news, talk, and culture. You're listening to Food Integrity Now, and we think we got it figured out. Are you there, Yule?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Well, I'm not sure how much everybody heard in that last segment. So where we left off is, you know, I wanted you to share with our listeners some of the alternative farming methods you're using on Pachamama Farm.
Yes, and I don't know how much you heard, so I'll just condense it down, and maybe someday we'll go into more detail. But we add biology to our soil. We add microorganisms, bacteria, fungi, different microbes that are made by microbiologists and sold to us in a dormant state. And we apply these to the soil, and they when they interact with water and heat, they become alive and they multiply, and this adds life back into the soil so that the roots will have the microbes they need to extract the nutrients from the soil into the plants themselves, so that the fruit that they grow will be full of nutrients. And that's really what our goal is, and I think that your listeners are going to start hearing more and more about this term, nutrient density. Nutrient density is a term that people are using now to refer to food that is nutrient dense. And by nutrients, what we mean primarily are minerals. Our bodies need minerals, and we need minerals in a food form. And the best way to get that is from the food. And these days, very little of the food that's available in the stores is nutrient dense anymore. And this isn't just my opinion. This has been proven by studies that have been done by the USDA, you know, over the last 50, 60 years. There's been a dramatic decrease in the nutrient density of the produce in particular. And by using these methods that we were talking about, which are organic, but they're also very scientific, then we're able to grow food that is nutrient dense.
Great. Well, why aren't more farmers in the U.S. Using alternative farming methods, or why aren't they choosing to farm organically?
You know, that's a good question, Carol. And, you know, for me, I just find organic or biological or alternative farming, whatever you want to call it, it's just so exciting. It's so interesting. And when I go out there and I drive down these back roads, and especially out in the Midwest, and it's just, you know, thousands, millions of acres of corn, soybeans, you know, as far as you can see, I often ask myself that, like, God, that just doesn't look like much fun out there. And, you know, but I would say that to answer your question, I think it's just deeply ingrained in the culture in these agricultural communities. I was reading a book just the other day, a review on a book by a woman named Lisa Hamilton, and she's written a new book called Deeply Rooted, Unconventional Farmers in the Age of Agribusiness. Mm-hmm. And in this book, she's gone out and she's interviewed different farmers and just about the trials and tribulations, the ridicule that they've had to face, they've been ostracized sometimes by their neighbors, because it's you know, you stand out. You stand out like a sore thumb when all of a sudden you start doing things differently in this type of environment. And I think that's really what keeps a lot of farmers from going in more of a biological and more of a healthy, you know, farming approach.
So, I was going to ask too, how does, you know, you talked about tradition and everything for farmers, and that being a deciding factor, but what about, how does the demand from the consumer and the education of the consumer, how do you notice that affects the choice maybe of farmers to either grow conventionally or go organic or do some of these things that you're doing?
Well, I think it's very significant. First of all, you know, we use the word farming and it's a word that encompasses a lot of different types of agriculture. It's, you know, it's similar to medicine. You know, a psychiatrist will have MD at the end of their name, and so will a brain surgeon, and they, you know, their work is very different. And farming is that way too. I grow organic vegetables. I sell direct to a local clientele. That's very different than living in the middle of Iowa out there, you know, growing or GMO soybeans and corn. There's very little interaction with the people who eat your food. In fact, you know, most of these, farmers, I don't even call them farmers. I call them agricultural producers. Their job is really more of a heavy equipment operator and a chemical applicator. That's essentially what they do. They really have very little interaction with the soil. And they're essentially just driving this giant machinery back and forth across their land and spraying, you know, poisonous chemicals. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the fact of the matter. I think that with consumers getting informed and making different purchasing decisions is the most powerful way that you can change this. You know, I'm sorry to say, whatever your political beliefs are, the evidence is just too strong that government could care less about organic food. You know, President Obama just appointed as the chief negotiator, you know, one of the biggest GMO proponents there is. You know, and our whole farming, you know, system within the government is geared towards GMOs and chemical farming, and that's just the way it's going to be. If you're waiting for the government to change it, forget about it. If you're waiting for big business to change, forget about it. If you're waiting for the mainstream media to start giving you all kinds of stories about how people are dying from pesticide applications and whatnot, forget about it. It ain't going to happen. It's just not. I don't care how bad it gets. It's just not going to happen. It's against the vested interest of all these very powerful, you know, players in our world. And really what it comes down to is us individuals. You know, we have to approach this that, you know, we're being assaulted every day by these you know, energies out there. And we need to take our health and our family's health into our own hands. And we need to turn off the television, and we need to listen to shows like this. We need to get on the internet. We need to research, and we need to start making food choices, not only to change our world, but to survive. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to be a bunch of depressed, fat, you know, sick people sitting around on in their sofas, glued to the television for 15, 20 hours a day. And I'm sorry to say it, but there's already too many people like that. And, you know, if you're somebody like that and listening and you want to change, you know, get off your butt and do it right now. I'm a farmer, and I don't have any other way to say it. You know, I'm out here working my tail off every day. And the only way that we're going to, you know, make a difference in our food is for all of us to go to work. And that means going to your, you know, making different food choices out there.
Yeah, I was reading a historian had written an essay very similar to what you just talked about, how every important change that has come, like, you know, voting for women and civil rights, has all come because the people decided to make a difference, not because the government decided to make a difference. So,
right.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing I wanted to, along that line, what I wanted to ask you is, what are, you know, you talked about the mineral-rich foods. What are some very positive and encouraging things that people should know about buying organic?
Well, organic's not perfect, but it's the best we've got right now. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think if you went back 10 or 15 years when the organic movement first started coming into the federal government, you know, it was led by consumers. They say that it was the most vocal that the public has ever been on any issue has been the organic standards, you know, that happened back in the mid-90s. And the you know, the farming community, the, you know, the branch, you know, the farming parts of the government, you know, that are in charge of agriculture, they fought it tooth and nail. And finally they gave in, and they've been trying to mess it up ever since. And we just won't let them, you know, as much as we can. Mm-hmm. But that said, you know, big business is getting into organics, and they are slipping all kinds of little side rules in. And I think there are substances that are possibly, you know, being allowed into different organic foods. But hey, it's still better than the alternative, which is just, you know, total GMO. And to me, that's really the biggest advantage to organic is that it doesn't allow GMO. There's really no other way that you can be assured that you're not getting GMO in your food than organic. And when the organic standards were passed, there was very little GMO out there. And I wonder sometimes if we tried to pass those standards now, if we would be able to, because the GMO powers are so strong. But, and I'm not saying that every organic product out there is totally GMO-free, but you can almost say the opposite, that if it's not organic, then it's full of GMOs, because virtually every processed food in the grocery store has genetically engineered soy and or corn in it, mm-hmm. and possibly other things. So I think it's a good start.
Yeah, definitely. And so as far as if people, you know, want to get really, you know, really clean food, really nutrient-dense food, do you have any suggestions of how they could, you know, what are some things that they could do to make sure that the organic that they're buying is the best?
Well, the best way is to make a connection with the grower, like myself. Mm-hmm. We have a program on our farm. It's community-supported agriculture. I bet a lot of people are familiar with that by now. And essentially what that is where a family pays at the beginning of the season, and they are making a financial commitment to the farm for the season. And in return for that, they get a box of vegetables every week for the entire growing season. They get to come out to the farm, bring their kids out to the farm. You know, different farms do it different ways, but that's the basic way that the community supported agriculture is created. And then there's another big issue there, which has to do with it as a member of a community supported agriculture or CSA farm, you're taking a risk with that farmer for that year. And as everyone who's lived in Colorado knows, we get a lot of hail in this area. And you can just imagine what a tomato plant looks like after about 10 or 15 minutes of hail. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, all of a sudden, your produce in your box is going to not look near as nice as it did the week before, and there probably won't be as much of it either. So that's really important for the farmer, because as small organic farmers, we aren't covered by crop insurance. We're not covered by government disaster programs, you know, when these floods happen out in the Midwest where these farmers get all bailed out. We talk about these financial companies and Wall Street getting bailed out. Well, guess what? Big time agriculture has been getting bailed out for the last 40 years. And most of these farmers out there are agricultural producers. You know, they call it farming the government. And, you know, the way they look at it, they're just growing this food product that's just like a substance that goes into processed foods. And if they don't, if the numbers don't come out that good because of the weather wasn't cooperative, they don't have to worry about it, because they're going to get a nice big fat check from the government at the end of the year anyway. And so these CSA farms, it's a really important relationship for both the farmer and the consumer. But let's face it, most of us, vegetables don't make that significant of a proportion of our diet. Maybe during the summer we eat a lot more vegetables, but, you know, most of us are eating grains and meat and fruits and different things. And at that point, I think you just need to find a retailer that you feel like really stands for in alignment with your values. I think in this area we've got Vitamin Cottage. We've got Whole Foods Market. I neither one of those companies are perfect, again, by any means, but they're, I think their ideals are are in alignment with what we're talking about. And, you know, we just have to learn, and we have to research, and we have to educate ourselves so that we can start making wise choices.
Yoel, I have a question. If somebody wanted to find out if there was a CSA, which is community-supported agriculture, in their area, how would they go about trying to find one?
There's, on the Internet, of course, you could type in community-supported agriculture Colorado, and you'll find different lists where you can link to people's to farm to websites, and then you can just do a little research on your own, and you'll hopefully find a farm that's near you. There's parts of the state that have more CSA coverage than others, and like I said, farms are different, so some farms offer different benefits, and you know, we're all doing our own thing, but we're all friends, and we talk and converse and meet once a year sometimes, and it's you know, they're out there.
Right.
Oh, I think we were talking about last time, you mentioned, and I think you talked about this when you were talking about the soil, but you said something about how conventionally grown food can be good as well. It just really depends on how the farmer does his farming or treats the soil. Did you have any thoughts to share on that?
Yeah, we in our culture these days we're so brand oriented, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're bombarded by these labels. I think there's a part of us that wants to simplify the world. And so we say, organic, that's good. Conventional, that's bad. And the fact is that like the rest of life, you know, there's a lot of gray in between. And I know farmers who are organic farmers that I think have pretty primitive growing methods. Near as I can tell, they have just kind of a shotgun approach to fertilizing, if they fertilize at all. I don't think they do soil tests. I don't think they really educate themselves about soil fertility and whatnot. I know some conventional farmers. I mean, but they're basically conventional because they're not certified organic. And these guys are taking a very deliberate approach. They're educating themselves about how soils work. They're growing cover crops. They're doing the things that I told you about. And they're not organic necessarily for one reason or the other. So, you know, again, in the analogy with people, you know, people say, I'm a vegan. And, you know, and that's supposed to mean that they're healthy. Well, we had a vegan work on our farm one time, and she basically ate bread all the time. And she was very unhealthy, but she was a vegan, right? And so it's the same thing. It, you know, we need to get beyond these labels and these brands, and we need to educate ourselves. And I think that as we become sensitive to the food we're eating, then we'll be able to tell. I mean, don't you know what that feels like when you eat like just a really great meal and what you feel like afterwards?
Yeah.
Compared to when you pig out on something that you know isn't healthy for you and what you feel after that, mm-hmm. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just talking about that a little bit earlier today, you know, how you know, your body just responds. And if you pay attention to how you feel, that'll be an indication to you. And
absolutely.
You know, is this beneficial for me to eat? And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't stop and notice that, or they're not aware of that. But that's one thing that, you know, I think is beneficial for all of us to do.
Right. We had a woman one time who was a member of our CSA, and she came into it wanting to lose weight, I think, or something. And she just really wasn't very educated at all about organics. And this is like a really big stretch for her to eat so many vegetables. And we were kind of concerned about whether she'd be problematic, right? But it was great because she ended up just like really eating this food, and she asked a lot of questions and everything, and she ate them, and every week after week, and about 9 or 10 weeks into the program, one day she showed up to Lauren, and she said, Lauren, and she kind of pulled her aside, she says, I have to tell you something, and Lauren goes, what is it? And she says, you know, ever since I've been eating your food, I feel different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I go and I don't even want to drink Starbucks. I don't even want to go to Starbucks anymore. I went in the other day and I ordered my latte and I couldn't even finish it. And I felt so gross drinking it. And, you know, I've noticed that I started buying, like, these natural cleansers for my house. And she says, I feel like just by eating your vegetables every week that my whole consciousness is changing. My whole thinking is changing. And she was like, her eyes were all big, and she was, like, looking at Lauren like, do you think I'm crazy? And Lauren said, yeah, well, that's what happens.
It is. I've noticed the same thing. I mean, we're such chemical beings in a lot of ways, and our bodies respond to the type of food we put in it. And if we have enough nutrients, we're not going to have these addictions to foods that are giving us calories but not really giving us any nourishment at all. And right. I noticed too when I've changed the food that I'm eating and eat more nutrient dense foods, I could actually feel emotions more. I mean, I noticed that. Mm-hmm. It changed my consciousness and my ability to be aware of just things that I was feeling. It was like I was numb before. Mm-hmm. So it does. It makes a huge difference.
Right, because it works the other way around too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're chowing down and on you know really poor food, then I think it just makes it harder to be conscious and makes it harder to be a loving, healthy person that can give back to, you know, the people in their lives and their surroundings, because your body is working so hard to flush these toxins and trying to extract minerals that aren't there and trying to live to its full potential when it's just, you know, the minerals just aren't there for it to. And you know, you're really setting yourself back and your family too by feeding them that kind of food. We, you know, people get so wrapped up in the cost of food, and you know, they say we have the least expensive food in the world in America. Well, that's because we have some of the worst food in the world in America.
Right.
And you know, you get what you pay for. People tell me, yeah, I'd really like to buy organic, but oh, it's so expensive. And then you watch them, you know, and they're over at Starbucks dropping $6-7 at a pop for a big old muffin and a fat latte and whatever. And, you know, or they sit there in front of the tube and watch TV all night long, or they buy the brand new car, or, you know, who knows what else they do. I mean, people spend their money so frivolously for all this stuff, but when it comes to food, oh, I can't do that. I can't afford that. Well, what can you afford then?
Right.
I mean,
I know people
who buy nothing but organic. I know people that eat nothing but pure food. I mean, they never deviate. And these people hardly have two nickels to rub together.
Yeah.
And they're so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's priorities, you know, it really is. It's like our priorities have gotten out of balance.
Yep.
As a nation. And I think we were talking last week about how 30 years ago the amount of income that we spent on our food was, I can't remember the figure, but it was pretty high, like 40-50% of the income went toward food. Now it's less than 10%.
Right.
So, you know, what are we choosing to have in our lives? Are we choosing quality food so that we can feel good? Or are we choosing something outside of ourselves, i.e., you know, things and entertainment and things like that?
Distractions.
Well put.
Yeah.
So it's really something for people to think about. I think we've got about 1 minute left, Yule. So can you leave us with some some positive motivation to get people to really start thinking about their choices?
Well, I just say that I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and food integrity now, that just spells it out so clearly in my mind, and I know that there's people out there that are on this path of changing their food patterns, and just all I can say is that don't get discouraged, just stick with it, and you know, educate yourself, and more than anything else, if you know you're going to slip up. Hey, I slip up too, believe me. And you know, when you do, just pat yourself on the back and wake up the next morning and make yourself a big bowl of buckwheat or millet or something, or some kind of, you know, or eat some organic fruit and drink a bunch of water that day instead of soda pop, and be easy on yourself, because really it's the way that we treat ourselves is the most important thing in life. And we need to ease up and not be food Nazis to ourselves and our food decisions. And you know, these patterns that we have are deeply ingrained, and they're not going to give up easily. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a arduous, challenging road to change your food patterns. And that's just the way it is.
But it can be done, and it will be worth it.
Yeah. And it's darn well worth it. I mean, this is your life, and this is about the quality of your life.
That's right.
Right. Well said. Thank you, Yul. We appreciate you being on the show. And, you know, you just gave some great information, and I hope everybody enjoyed hearing this. You are listening to Food Integrity Now on tellernetcast.com, your local internet radio with news, talk, and culture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The doctor, the lawyer, and the Indian chief all agree, TellerNetCast.com is the place to be.